prayer that's been offered and ask your continued interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn with me to our text, where we'll begin at least, is 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a verse of scripture that I've preached a number of times, but I try to come at it from a different angle. You know, like Elder Sonny Pyle used to say that the truth is like a diamond. And you can hold it up to the light, you can see all the beauty, the sparkle, and all the different colors, but if you turn it just a little bit, it's different. It's still the same diamond of truth. It's still beautiful, but it just looks a little different. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And there's a lot of people in this world today that are trying to make us afraid. To try to keep us in a state of fear. I mean, I hate to even recommend it, but if you did, look at all the news outlets, all the mainstream media, they'd all be telling you the same thing. And it all would be trying to get you confused and afraid. That's not from God. Amen. And I warn you that if you watch very much of that, you're going to be cast down. And maybe some discouraged a little bit. There's better things for us to do. I understand we want to be up on current events. I understand, but so let's seek out some good sources. But I understand we want to be aware of what's going on in the world. We need that. But we need, more than anything else, we need to be armed with the Word of God so that we can prepare ourselves to face whatever is going on in the world. Because God's word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. God's word teaches us about him. It teaches us about his power, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his grace, all that he has done for us and what he purposed to do for us from the foundation of the world, what he sent his son into the world to accomplish for us, what's going to happen at the end of time, no matter how chaotic this world may get. Jesus is coming back. He's going to gather up all that he paid for. He's going to take us home to be with him forever. And this place is going to burn up. When judgment comes, God's people have already been judged in Christ. We don't have to face that judgment at the last time. Jesus has already paid our sin debt. There's plenty of other folks that will have to face that judgment at the end of time. And so hell is a real place, and it's going to be inhabited. But we who are blessed to know the Lord, we who understand his power, we who understand his love, we who understand what he has done for us, we don't have to fear. We don't have to live in fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, we can be rational, we can be clear-headed, we can be thinking, how, Lord, what would you have me to do this day? And knowing that he will help us to do whatever he puts on our heart to do. All right? That's the help we need. All right? Now, to expound upon this a little bit, let's reach way back into the Old Testament. Let's notice the message that God has given to his people all down through time. And I think it'll sound familiar to you. Do you remember in Genesis 15? I'm going to turn to some of these. I could probably quote some of them. But let's just read a little bit about what he has to say. Genesis 15, when God calls Abram. Now, this is way back before God gave Abram a new name, Abraham. All right? I like what somebody said about that one time. Abraham. Huh. He added a sound of breath. Like new life. Okay? In Genesis 15, the Lord tells Abram this. This is after the battle of the kings and how Abraham rescued Lot. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram." Now listen, I can tell you all day long, fear not. And you might think that's good admonition, but you know there's a very little I can do to change your circumstances, if any. But when the Lord says, "Fear not," we've got every reason to listen. Because he can do it. He's got this. This world is in his hand. He's suffering a lot of things to happen right now. And I'm not saying that he's causing all these things, not in the least. But he is able to intervene for his children at any time he chooses. He is omnipotent, all powerful. He made all things. He is sovereign over all of it. Okay? So when he tells Abraham, "Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Wow. What does that tell Abram? You know, he had just taken his own servants and had fought against kings and their armies and brought back those that were captured and their goods. It's possible Abram was wondering if there was going to be some retaliation. So God comes to him and says, "Fear not. Don't worry about it. I am thy shield. I'll protect you. And thy exceeding great reward." He didn't take any spoils from battle, did he? God is his reward. God is blessing him. God is providing for him. God has blessed him so far. He's going to bless him tremendously in the days ahead. "I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Well, has God changed? He loves us just as much as he loved Abraham. I'm satisfied of that. Do you think he's our shield? Do you think he's our exceeding great reward? Thank you. We're on the same page. Our God reigns. Our God is in the heavens and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. All right? So that's what he told to Abraham. Do you think Abraham, if he had any concerns about that retaliation, do you think he was able to rest a little easier after that? I can't prove this, but I just believe he did. That God came to him and said, "Fear not, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And since he's eternal, then he always will be. All right? So that's what he told Abraham. Well, let's see. And by the way, before we go to the next, it's not far after this, in Genesis 21:17, that Abraham has to send away Hagar and Ishmael. And let's see, 21. And when they are sent away, they've got a bottle of water, and they are headed out into the desert, and all of a sudden they've used up their water. Yeah. And Hagar is afraid this child is going to die in the heat. She didn't want to see the child die. So she put him under a bush, and she went afar off so she couldn't see the child. But guess what? God saw the child. God saw the affliction that little child was in. Let me read you something. And God heard, this is Genesis 21, verse 17. "And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and saith unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not." Now, sometimes the word of God is a little lighthearted, isn't it? What aileth thee? Well, we know exactly what's ailing her, don't we? She doesn't know the help that he has. She thought the child was about to die. She had given up all hope of being able to do anything to keep that child alive. What aileth thee, Hagar? You know what ailed her, really and truly? She didn't have the knowledge of what she really had. Isn't that amazing? She just didn't know the help this child had. I'm going to read the rest of that verse. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. I love that. I love the way that verse ends. God saw that child right where he was. God saw the need right where it was. And God heard the cry of that child, and God was going to help that child. And I don't want to get into the rest of that, but God blessed Ishmael to become a great nation. God blessed him in many ways, all right? But he wasn't going to be an heir with the child of promise, with Isaac, all right? So, first of all, we noticed Abram. We know that's Abraham. And how that God said, fear not, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. All right, let's go to the time when God speaks to Isaac, okay, in Genesis 26. I won't turn a lot of pages here, but hang in there with me. Genesis 26, verse 24. This is Isaac, and I'm just going to get what he told him. 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. For I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So far we've noticed Abraham. Fear not, for I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Now Isaac, he says, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Do you hear the message to both of these being the same? Fear not, for I'm going to summarize. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over. I'm going to provide for you. All right? That's Abraham, Isaac. Who's next? Jacob. Thank you. Jacob, 28. Genesis 28, 15. There's a reason why I'm going through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? 28, 15. God is speaking to Jacob. He's seen a vision. That ladder. Okay. And behold, God says to Jacob, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Shouldn't that have been comforting to Jacob? I'll not leave thee. What did he say? I am with thee. Now listen, if God is with us, that's right. Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And here he's telling Jacob, I'm with you. That ought to be encouraging. These lessons, Paul would say in the Roman letter, um, 15:6, I believe it is. Paul says, whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All right? So when we think about God's promises to these Old Testament saints, to Abraham, I am thy shield, exceeding great reward, to Isaac, I'll be with, fear not, as I was with Abraham, I'll be with you, and to Jacob, I will be with you, I will not leave you. Do you hear a common theme here? I go through all of these scriptures so that we understand that when Paul said this to Timothy, that was not an isolated thought. It is the message that God has been giving to his people all down through time. I am on my throne. I am in control. And he can do whatsoever he pleases. And so today, whatever we face as we go through life, God is able to supply our needs. As a matter of fact, Paul would write to Philippians 4:19. He says, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has promised that to his people. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have a flowery bed of ease all through life. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have troubles. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have challenges. It doesn't mean those kinds of things. What it means is he is always with us to help us. As long as we look to him, trust him. Yes, there's times that things don't turn out like we want it to. But his will is best. All right? So whatever that is, if we continue to seek his will, continue to look to him, to continue to trust in his wisdom, because this life is just a moment. it's a vapor, James says. You know, on a cold day like this, you get outside and you breathe out your breath and you can see it in front of your face, but you don't see it very long, do you? It just vanishes away very quickly. All right? Our life is compared to that. It's just here for a while. One preacher one time said that, all of our life all the years of this world really are just like a blip on the radar screen compared to eternity. We can't wrap our hands around eternity. We like beginnings and endings, but eternity has no end. And so God will be there for, and we will be with him in glory. And so as we go through this life, it ought to be a help to us to turn to the pages of God's word and see how many times he has promised, not fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee. I will provide for you. I'll protect you. He's there for us. All right? So we think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many times do we find in scripture, and I don't know the number, you could search it out, I don't know the number, but many times in scripture we find God reminding his people, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? And what that tells us is that that's a lineage that is revealed to us in the scriptures that will continue on until Christ comes into this world. It was God's chosen people in the Old Testament. God chose to manifest himself to them in very special ways. And he didn't choose them because they were greatest in number, for they were the fewest of all people. In fact, they even owed their very existence to God exercising his power and bringing them into existence. God made those promises to Abraham, but Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child. They weren't able physically to have a child, but God intervened and gave them a child, and from that sprang the children of Israel. That nation could not have existed except God had manifested his power and brought them into existence. Right. And guess what? The same is true with being born again. God's children would not have eternal life except that God intervenes and breathes life into those he had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so we are alive before him and know him because we have that new birth, that spiritual birth, being born again by his power. That power is not in the gospel. That power is not in the preacher. That power is not in the written word. It is in the living word where he says in John 5:25, behold, the hour is coming and now is when the dead those that are dead in trespasses and sins, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's how they're born again. By the sovereignty of God, exercising his power in us. All right? So, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he appeared to them and told them, fear not, I'm with you. I'm going to provide for you. I'll not leave you. Isn't that comforting? Well, guess what? Isaac, one of those, Paul says in Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, what is it, verse 28? May not be right on that one, but Galatians 4, Paul refers to that incident in Genesis 22 when Isaac was taken off of the altar and that ram was placed in his stead. And Paul says, now we then, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. All right? So God made such a promise to Isaac, and Isaac represented us, the chosen of God, the promised children of God, spiritually speaking. And so those promises that God made to them in a natural sense apply to us in the spiritual realm. God's not going to leave us alone in this world. Didn't he tell his disciples in John chapter 14 when he was about to go to the cross and about to die and about to be buried for 3 days and rise again? But before all of that happened, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14, somewhere around verse 19. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That word comfortless there means he'll not leave us like orphans. Think about an orphan who doesn't have somebody to take care of them, who doesn't have somebody to provide for them, who doesn't have the love of those the family unit like most of us have enjoyed. Okay? He's not going to leave us that way. We never are without his care. We're never without his power. We're never without his love. Now, if we would just bear that in our hearts, in the forefront of our mind all the time, it would help us not to fear as we go through this life. Amen. I believe I'm standing in front of a people this morning that's really not all that fearful about what's going on in the world, because we know who's got this. We know the help that we have. But it doesn't hurt to be reminded, does it? So we think about how he has been. All right, so those promises were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How about when Moses came along? When Moses came along, and in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, let me turn to that. Remember, God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They'd been there a long time. How long had they been there? 400 years. That's a long time. I suspect a lot of those people thought, well, God's forgotten us by now. 400 years? But listen, before Joseph passed away, he made his brethren swear. He said that God will surely visit you and bring you out. And he says, you shall carry my bones with you. Do you know when the children of Israel left Egypt, they carried the bones of Joseph with them? And as they wandered in the wilderness those 40 years, they carried the bones of Joseph with them. It wasn't until they were blessed to go into the promised land that God had promised them, that was about a 2 weeks journey from Egypt. They could have been there, but they provoked the Lord with their unbelief, and so they had to wander for 40 years. But all that time, the bones of Joseph was being carried around with them. Why on earth would they do that? To remind them of the promise that they made, that Joseph said, God will surely visit you and bring you out. And every time they looked at that, if they knew that promise, which I suspect they mostly did because they had storytellers that would tell these things, every time they saw the bones of Joseph, they should remember that God Joseph said God was going to visit them and bring them out, and he did. He did just like he promised. All right, I'm getting off subject. But God calls Moses now to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Listen to what he says in Exodus 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, God speaking to Moses, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. The same God that promised to Abraham. The same God that promised to Isaac. The same God that promised to Jacob is now speaking to Joseph and telling him what he's going to do in bringing them out. All right, let's go to Isaiah. I'm going to fast forward along a lot of years in the history of God's people in the Old Testament. Isaiah 41. What I want you to see that this message has been preached over and over and over to God's people. God would have us to know this message. Okay? Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not. We've heard that before, haven't we? I mean, that's the message that God repeatedly gives to his people. Why? Because he's the one that can help them. He's the one that can do whatsoever he chooses. Fear not thou, for I am with thee. That should be all we need to know. He's with us. All right? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Throughout the Old Testament, there were many little gods. They were the imaginations of men's minds. They may have been fashioned of gold or silver. They may have been a tree stump or stock that was carved out. Men would bow down and worship them. Why? Why would anybody bow down to a tree stock? Why would anybody bow down to a graven image? It's just a graven image. All they're doing is worshiping the God of their imagination. They're worshiping the God that they want instead of the God that he is. And do you know there's a lot of people today doing the same thing? They're worshiping the God that they want. You can go find a church that's preaching pretty much anything you want to hear. I want to hear this. I want this truth. Because it's the truth of the living God. The one who spoke this world into existence. The one who by his power upholds all things. And by the one who at some time will send his son back to this earth to gather up his own and take us home to be with him before he burns this place up with fervent heat. Says it's going to melt. Peter says in 2 Peter, it's going to melt. With fervent heat. Now these pews probably wouldn't take a whole lot of heat to burn them up. But there's a lot of things in this world, it's going to take a whole lot of heat to melt them. Well, you know what? You know, Elder Sonny Pyle, I quote him a lot, but he's taught us a lot. He said one time that, you know, there's plenty of fire available. The closest star to our solar system is so big that it wouldn't pass between the sun and the earth. It's that big. There's plenty of fire available. And that's just one star. But you know, there's something else. That when Peter talks about this world shall melt with fervent heat, that expression is very similar to what you'd get in an atomic explosion. You know how you get an atomic explosion? You know, you split an atom, just one atom. Just split one atom and look what happens. Well, what if God just altered the forces of physics and all these atoms start colliding with one another? I mean, there's no problem with God having enough heat to melt this world fervently. But we don't have to worry about that. All through the scriptures, he says, I am with you, I'll not leave you, fear not. Whether it's things going on in this world, whether you think about what might happen in the future, fear not. Jesus was sent to this world to save his people from their sins, and he did it. I've heard stories from the past, and I don't know what denomination they were with, but they were spinning some tales about what's going to happen at the end of time, that Elijah's going to come back. Well, we know that's not true, because even though the Old Testament said he was going to come back, in Malachi it talks about he'll come again, yet Jesus said the fulfillment of that prophecy in Malachi was fulfilled in John the Baptist. Said, if you'll receive it, this is John the Baptist. So, I mean, he plainly, if anybody wants to see that, I think it's John 11, but I'm not remembering the address exactly right now. But anyway, the Lord says that was fulfilled in John the Baptist. All right, then there's so much that's said about the Battle of Armageddon and how awful that's going to be in this world. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest forces that, the forces of darkness have already gathered together against the Lord's Christ. And when he went to the cross, he fought the battle, the greatest battle that'll ever be fought. And he won that battle. He gave us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. That's the greatest battle that's ever been fought. And he's already won that battle. We don't have to worry about that. Fear not, he says. I am with thee. Do you feel like the Lord's presence is with you as you go through life? Bless your hearts, he's promised to be with us. Jesus said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. And so as we think about all the promises God has made, the power that he has to keep us, the promises he's made to watch over us, provide for us, and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Bless your hearts, we ought to be able to live in peace and be strengthened to face whatever trials we have as the days come. Because God says over and over and over in his word, fear not. I didn't get very far in Isaiah 41. All right, Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Oh, there's a lot of things that happens in this world to cause us to be dismayed. And that's natural. But God says, I'm with you. I'm in control. I can help you. And so all we need in this life, he can provide. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. You ever feel like you don't have any more strength? Quite often, doesn't it? He said, I'll strengthen you. Well, is that a faithful promise? Is that a promise you can just lay hold on? I mean, what if he doesn't have enough strength? That's preposterous. If you know this God, you know that he's omnipotent. Which means all powerful, right? All power. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. And so when we think about what we're facing, when we feel weak, we feel tired, he says, I'll strengthen you.
And he does.
He says, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. And if your soul is resting in God, your body can rest a whole lot better. I'm satisfied a whole lot of folks are not resting real good because their soul isn't resting in the Lord. I tell you, that's a sure prescription right there. Now, so when we think about, all right, he said, I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, God is good and holy and right and just and all-powerful and loving and merciful and long-suffering. Bless your hearts, he'll uphold us by the right hand of his righteousness. All as we think about the great promises that we have in the Lord. A couple of verses there. about how he'll handle our enemies. But then in verse 13, he says, "For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." I don't know how many times God has to tell us that he'll help us for us to lay hold on those promises and to understand he will be with us. All right? How about today? I've gone through a lot of history. I've gone through a lot of the times that God spoke to his people in times past. And those things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures have hope. So when we read of how God was merciful and kind and gracious and provided for them and protected them and delivered them and helped them in whatever ways they needed, when we read about that, he's the same God today as he ever has been. And he'll always be that way. All right? So when we think about today, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter kind of sums up some teachings there. And no doubt it was based on his knowledge of the Old Testament, but also primarily inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit was using things that had been revealed before. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's begin in verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Now when he says be pitiful, that means to have pity upon one another. Overlook one another for good, okay? Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Know that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. In other words, God has called us in this life, and we're going to have to suffer trials, and if we're faithful to him, we're going to suffer for his name's sake. But he has called us to be faithful to him. Whatever that means. Whatever that means to be faithful to God. Because he's the one that has promised to be with us, to protect us, to deliver us, to help us, to love us. All that we need is in him. And so all of that tells me the only right response to that is to be faithful to God. Faithful every day. All right? Peter continues. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil." Turn away from it. Hating it. All right? "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Follow after it. Chase it. All right? "For the eye," listen, here's where this connects to what I've told you all from the Old Testament. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Isn't that good news? "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good?" Who is he that will harm? Isn't that comforting? There's a lot of people in this world today that had a lot of power and a lot of influence and a lot of finances that do not care for Christianity. They do not care for our traditional values. They don't care for our way of life. All right? And so they're doing what they can to change things. All right? I don't know how far they'll get. That's in God's hands. He can stop it anytime he wants to. All right? And I'm not saying he's approving of it. No, not at all. But his long suffering is amazing. God's mercy is amazing. God's grace is amazing. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You see where our safety lies?
staying close to the Lord, thanking God for his mercy and blessings upon us, looking to him for his guidance, knowing that he's able to protect us. He's our shield and our exceeding great reward. He'll not leave us. He's made a promise through his son. He made a promise. He's coming back to take us home. What did he say to Jacob? I'll not leave you till I have done what I promised. Man, that's not an exact quote, but that's close. All right. God is watching over us, providing for us. All through his word, we have the message, fear not. So the next time we feel fear, try to stop. Say, why am I fearing that? Why am I feeling that? I know God is all powerful. I know he's watching over us. I know he's promised to take care of us. Think about what you know. It'll help you to allay those fears. If you remember the love God has for us, would you call that a perfect love that God has for us? You know what James said about that? Perfect love casteth out fear. When you remember who loves you, when you remember what he's able to do, it'll cast out your fears. So what's our takeaway for this message? What can you take home with you? It's where I started. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we get fearful, we're not where God would want us to be. But when we remember him, we remember his power, then we're thinking like we should. We got all the help we need. May God help us to look to him. May God help us to remember he has not given us the spirit of fear. The devil would like for you to be fearful. The devil would like for you to be upset. The devil would like for you to be lacking in trust. The devil would like for you to not be exercising your faith. The devil would like for you to forget God's promises. The devil wants you worried, scared, huddled in a corner somewhere. He's pleased with that. Because if he's got you in that condition, you're not trusting, you're not looking, you're not asking for his help. May God help us to be strong, he told Isaiah, he said, I will strengthen thee. You know, elsewhere in the scriptures it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That tells me two things, at least. First of all, whatever we need for today, he can give it. And he will give it. All right? The other is, for as many days as we need it, he can give it, and he will give it. God is faithful. God is faithful. May God help us to look to him. Fear not. He's not given us the spirit of fear. And all through the scriptures, he's told his people, fear not. Why? Because he is with us. Because he is our God. Because he loves us more than anyone else. Because he has already done more than we could ever do in showing us his love by sending his son to this world to save us from our sins. I pray that the Lord has touched your heart with this, stirred your mind to remembrance, and caused us to remember the precious promises we have from the Lord, that he is with us, he'll not leave us, nor forsake us, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I've only scratched the surface. There's so many other verses that we could have gone to in teaching a lesson like this. Psalm 27 is a great one too, isn't it? All through it. If you happen to have some time, read that. God is faithful. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. May God bless you, is our prayer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number 146 has been a slight.